I believe it's verse 10 that says, out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing, sweet water and bitter. These things ought not to be so. So God help us that we are to convey a blessing to people, right? So Isaac's going to bless Jacob and Esau. And why do we ask? Why is the question? Why is he going to bless them? And what we'll see is that Isaac believed God's actions toward and his words to himself, meaning Isaac. Isaac believed God's actions toward and God's word to himself. Now, as we'll get into it, we'll see what I mean, because God said something to Isaac, but it wasn't just for Isaac or about Isaac. I mean, you know, oftentimes when God speaks to us, he speaks to us concerning, or he speaks to us generationally, if I could use that word. He speaks to us in terms of generation. You know, from a parental point of view, God's spoken to me about my children. I mean, let me put it this way. Let me not make it so deep and make it so spiritual. Oh, God spoke to you. He hasn't really spoken to me about my children. So let me take it out of the deep. Let me say this. I have some thoughts that I think have some spiritual overtones and leanings when I look at my children and the way that tree is growing, you know what I'm saying? The way it's going, I think I see some things, right? And Isaac saw some things. And he spoke those over his children. This goodness of God, Isaac believed, would continue. The goodness that was on his life would continue on to his firstborn as the blessing was passed from Abraham to Isaac. Genesis 27:27 reads, and Esau, he came near and kissed Isaac, and Isaac smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. And so notice that we said Isaac, by faith Isaac blessed, but Isaac says, the smell of my son is like a field whom the Lord has blessed. Who was the first one to do the blessing? See, the first one to do the blessing was God Almighty himself. When you look at the life of Abraham, you go back to Genesis chapter 12, God just appears to Abraham and he says, Abraham, leave your country, your family, go to a land that I'm going to show you. He says, and I'm going to multiply thy seed. And he said, then he said this, in blessing you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. He said, he who blesses you, I will bless. He who curses you, I will curse. So the blessing, the initiative for the blessing always comes from God first. As a matter of fact, the reason why Isaac was blessing Esau and Jacob was because Isaac himself was blessed. And so the blessing started with God, and now Isaac is going to, God blessed Abraham. Abraham's then blessing by the initiation of God as well, because Abraham was ready to bless Ishmael. Abraham said, all that Ishmael could live before you. God said, no. I told you I'm going to give you a son through Sarah. And in Isaac, your seed shall be called. God says, all the blessing is going to go on Isaac. And so God, after Abraham, we're going to read the scripture in a second. But after Abraham passed on, the blessing of Abraham, if you will, passed on to Isaac. How many of you know that the Lord has some things that he put on your life that he wants to go on to your children's life? Amen. He put some things in your life that he even wants to go into your spiritual children's life, that he wants to pass on. Recently, many of you will remember Carol Stevenson. And Carol Stevenson has moved out of the area back to Wisconsin. She's gone. And she used to be an integral part here, coming and playing and so forth for us. A few years ago, a number of years ago, Tori was taking the Suzuki method of piano learning and going to a teacher, and she's teaching all this classical music and all this type thing. And we're watching over that and everything. And then one day, and I'm thinking about, this was years ago when Carolyn was still playing for the church, and I'm thinking to myself, I ain't saying anything, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, it'd be good if Tori learned some worship songs. It'd be good if she learned that and everything. So the thought crossed my mind, don't say anything, you just keep on going. A couple months later, she said, Dad, you think I might learn some worship songs? I went, wow, sure, yeah, I think that would be a good thing, you see. So we looked up Carol, Carol was teaching piano at the time, but she wasn't teaching all this worship stuff. She was teaching her students, you know, classical music, whatever. We took Tori to her, and Tori sat under her for a few months. And I told Carol before she left, I says, Carol, when she was leaving me, I said, do you realize that there has been an impartation of what you taught my daughter? Wasn't just, it just didn't go, it just didn't hit, you know, well, you play this note, you play that note. But I don't know about you, but when you listen to Tori play, it's like listening to Carol play. It's like there was a transference. It was like it was a blessing that was passed on. And I told Carol, I said, Carol, God has taken what he's doing in you, and now he's doing it in my daughter. In other words, the blessing has been transferred. The blessing didn't stay with you, isn't going to end with you, but it's going on. And then Tori was in, we were in another church here, in Dean's church, and a young girl asked Tori, said, oh, I love you play. Would you teach me how to play? And I thought to myself, watch out now, because it sounds like it's going to transfer again. And the blessing is moving. You see, now I've said this before. I love saying it. I'm going to say it again, because it just ministers so much life to me when I do. God never blesses you and I just for us. Excuse me while I enjoy the Lord. Oh my goodness! That is awesome! He did not bless Abraham just for Abraham. He says, in blessing you, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth. Listen, when God blesses you, can you imagine this? Just try this on for size. Just get it in your mind. When God blesses you, that he has in view other people that he wants to bless. God, you can't see them. Abraham didn't see, who did he see? He didn't see Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh. But Abraham never saw him. But when God blessed Abraham, he had Ephraim and Manasseh in mind. Not only Abraham and Manasseh, but he had King David and Moses and Joshua, because all of them came out of the loins of Abraham. Listen, listen, listen. You and I ought to want to be blessed. If we really understood it, we should want to be blessed. God, wasn't it Jabez who said, God, bless me. Bless me. His name meant pain or sorrow. He says, I don't want to cause pain. I want to do the opposite. Bless me. And God blessed him. But God blesses us. Oh, some of it's for us. But he has other things in mind. Lord, help us. Verse 28 of Genesis 27, therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. And you know, Jacob's getting this blessing by fleshly means, but nonetheless, he's getting the blessing. We're not going to deal with that right now. Verse 29, let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be those who bless you. Now the Bible says that that Isaac, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Why would that have been by faith? Because what Isaac declared over Jacob and Esau was in no way on the horizon. He couldn't see it in the natural, because there was, he just pronounced over Esau, let nations bow down to you. No one was bowing down, I'm sorry, to Jacob. No one was bowing down to Jacob. By faith, he said it. By faith, he said, I see God's going to do this in your life. I've told you on a number of occasions that my grandfather, who was a Baptist minister, literally on his deathbed, called us four children in and prophesied to us while he was on his deathbed. I was 11 years old. Never forget it. He called us in and he said, God said, I thought to myself, I wasn't even saved. I didn't get saved until 8 years later. Here we are receiving a prophetic word from a Baptist pastor who didn't even believe in the gifts of the Spirit. God don't need you to believe. He can pour, he can do, listen, he can do anything he wants to, right? The donkey that talked didn't believe in the interpretation of donkey tongue. God just used the donkey to talk, right? And so my grandfather believed gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, anything like that. But lo and behold, what is he doing? Prophesying. And so he prophesies. I never forget that. And so, but he prophesies, and Isaac here is saying, people are going to serve you. Nations are going to bow down to you. You're going to be master over your brethren. He's declaring this to Jacob. He goes on. You know, Esau then finds out that his blessing has been stolen. He comes in, Father, don't you have another blessing for me? And Isaac said, behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you will break his yoke from your neck. That was all the blessing that Esau got. But nevertheless, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. In other words, it was a prophetic blessing. A prophetic blessing concerning things to come. So Isaac, being the patriarch of the family, allowed God to use him to look forward into the future. Because remember, God had already showed Rebekah that the older was going to serve the younger. So that prophetic voice was already active in their home, in the family. Concerning this blessing, Barnes notes says the meaning is that he pronounced a blessing on them in respect to their future condition. This was by faith in God, who had communicated it to him, and in full confidence that he would accomplish all that was here predicted. In other words, so, you know, when Isaac by faith blessing them, he's saying this, I believe that God is going to accomplish all that I have pronounced over you right now. Though I don't see it with my natural eye, I believe God is going to do all of it. You'll remember in Luke chapter 2, when the angel came to Mary and told her all that was going to happen to her, and Mary said, behold the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Then Mary, she runs off into the hill country of Judea, walks into Elizabeth's house and says, hello, Elizabeth. And then John leapt in Elizabeth's womb, and is filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she says, what is this honor that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For as soon as I heard your voice, the babe leapt in my womb for joy, is what she said, right? And then Elizabeth starts to prophesy. And Elizabeth said, and blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a performance of what was spoken unto you. Elizabeth blessed Mary. Right there in the script. This is what Isaac, when it says Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, Elizabeth says, blessed be you, and blessed be the fruit of thy womb, for there will be a performance. What was going on? Elizabeth had gotten a prophetic wind. She was filled with the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, a word of knowledge comes to her. She didn't say, "Hold it, Mary. I believe the word of knowledge." No, she just said, she just started speaking out, and you know it's prophetic because it says she said with a loud voice. Some people don't like loud. When you prophesy, sometimes you get loud because, you know, the authority of God comes on you somehow, and you just receive it. Amen. Anyhow, so she said with a loud voice, "Blessed are you, Mary." She says, "Because you believed what was said to you, and there will be a performance of what was spoken to you." So Elizabeth launches off into this prophetic utterance, which she did by faith, because she's believing what the Holy Spirit is pouring through her at that moment. And that is what I'm saying, church. At times, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, and we need to bless one another. Hallelujah. Have you ever called somebody? Now, I've had this happen to me before. I've called a Christian or what have you, called someone, and just talking to them on the phone, and all of a sudden, a spirit of exhortation, if you will, come on, something just fell on me, right? And the next thing I know, I'm preaching. I'm prophesying. I know I'm speaking to something. I'm not saying thus says the Lord on that, but I know I'm on track. I can feel it. I can sense it. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, "Lord, what on earth is going on anyhow?" And so I'm just speaking and speaking and speaking. And when the phone was hung up, they're like, "Oh my God, thank you. That's exactly what the and you're like, "Where'd that come from?" By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. You know what? God wants to use you and I to be a blessing in one another's life. Not a curse, but a blessing, right? So, I want to show you a little bit. When it says Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, I like to go back and look at the foundation. Where did that come from? Now, because he did it by faith. He did it by faith. That's what this Hebrews chapter 11, the author is trying to cause the people, these Hebrews that are being persecuted and thinking about falling back away from faith in Jesus, this book is being written so that they would not deny their faith. He said in Hebrews 10:39, "Cast not away," he said, "don't cast off your faith, which has great recompense of reward, but you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might obtain the promise," right? "For the just shall live by faith, but those that draw back to perdition, my soul shall have no pleasure in them." And then that was 10:39. Then verse 1 says, "Now faith." And he goes on and begin to lay out the case for why you don't throw away your faith, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? Now, but I want to read this to you, because when we look at the life of Isaac, we begin to understand some things, and I just love this. Genesis 25, verse 11 says this, "And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed Isaac, his son." Now, after the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac, his son. My question is, what did Isaac do to deserve the blessing? Thank you. Absolutely nothing. Where did the blessing come from? Where was it initiated from? It was in the heart of God. Now, you can hear 1,000 sermons today on how you can secure the blessing. And now you can listen to that if you want. But would you please, if I'm your pastor, would you please hear what God is saying through this house? Amen. Because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What did you do to deserve that blessing? Thank you. Okay. beginning to understand how the blessing works with God, right? I'm not saying that God won't bless you for your effort. You know that if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. That's different, totally different. But I want to point to this blessing that God initiated in the life of Abraham that passed on to Isaac. It came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. God blessed Isaac because he chose him to bring his purpose through him. Remember now, the blessing that God has upon Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is for a greater purpose. It's for a greater purpose. Listen, they were blessed materially, but they weren't only blessed materially. They were blessed way beyond material, in material fashion. We also notice that the blessing of God is not hidden, but it's very noticeable. We remember Genesis 29:3, it says that the keeper of the prison did not look to anything that was under Joseph's authority. For he saw, that's verse 23. Verse 3 says that when Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph and made everything that he put his hand to prosper, you can see the Lord made what Joseph did to prosper, and it was visible. Genesis 26:28 reads this way, but they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." That's what they told Isaac. "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you. So we said, let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you." Those people who were the Philistines, people who were near to Isaac, saw that the Lord was with Isaac. Why? Because Isaac was a blessed man. We know that he was blessed materially in that way. Now, that's not necessarily the focus for us today. You say, can God bless me materially? Oh, yes, he can. Not a problem. He can do that. But his blessing that he brings upon your life is so much greater than that. So much greater than that. Listen, Genesis 26:2-5. "Then the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt.'" This passage of scripture, there was a famine in the land, and Isaac thought, "I'll go down to Egypt because there's no famine in Egypt." Right? Well, there's a recession here in America, worldwide, I guess we should say. And there's been a recession. There was a depression. All these things going on. You know, Isaac reasoned in his mind, "I'll go down to Egypt." Any of us ever reasoned that, you know, there's a recession, so let me pack up my stuff and go? Yeah, sometimes Isaac was leaning upon his, you know, own wisdom. We can lean upon our own as well. Do we have some earthly wisdom about our times or about this area? Listen to what God says to Isaac. "Dwell in this land." Hold on, Lord. This is the land where there's a famine. The Lord said, "Stay here. Stay here." Listen. He says, "Don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I will tell you of. Dwell in this land," and here's the key, "and I will be with you and will bless you." I will be with you and I will bless you. The only way you can remain in a depressed area is if the Lord blesses and sustains you. The only way you can live or remain in a depressed area is if the Lord blesses and sustains you. He did this for Isaac. But it doesn't end there. He said, "Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give these lands." So the Lord opens up this whole panoramic view in this blessing or in this revealing his will to Isaac here. He says, "And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven." Now the Lord is showing Isaac his grand plan, and yet not even all of it, because the Jewish nation was to bring Jesus into the earth, right? That was his grand ultimate plan, which no one knew about until Paul says, "I've been blessed of God, anointed of God to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." So he goes on, he says, I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. There again is the reference to Jesus Christ, because through Abraham, through the birth of the Messiah, son of Abraham, son of David, all the nations of the earth have been blessed through the preaching of the gospel, whereby men are saved. And so God brings this blessing into Isaac's life. My point in sharing this is simply this. Isaac was a blessed man. Isaac was a blessed man. And so the Lord appeared and instructed Isaac in the way that he should go. Told him actually where to live. That was for Isaac's own life and blessing. Interesting, I remember my mother saying to me long before she passed away, even before I got married, I remember her saying, we were living in Vienna at the time, and she says, I don't know what it is, but I keep getting this sense. And I had a dream that we've been living in Vienna for over 20 plus years. And she says, I keep feeling that we're going to end up in Centerville, Chantilly, or Manassas. That's just have this feeling. That's the sense. That's where we're going to end up. And, of course, we've been living in Vienna for over 20 years, like I said, but when she passed away, she was living in Chantilly. I'm living in Centerville. It was like she had this prophetic sense about where she was going to dwell. And I'm like, I had no prophetic sense. Sometimes I have no sense at all, you know. But she had this sense about her that she was going to live in a certain place. And just like the Lord said to Isaac, dwell here. Dwell here, and here I will bless you. All right, so the blessing that God blessed Isaac with eventually reached to every nation on the earth. Now, Isaac has experienced this blessing because we see where it says the Lord, after the death of Abraham, God blessed his son Isaac. He experienced it, but not only that, God has come to him and told him, I'm going to bless all of your descendants. So in Isaac's mind, the blessing that he was carrying was bigger than just him, was bigger than just his family. It was a blessing that one family could not contain. And neither did God mean for one family to contain the blessing, but to see that blessing affect the entire world. Though Abraham and Isaac were blessed materially, the real blessing came in God, the Lord, revealing himself to them and choosing them for his own special purpose. Likewise, the real blessing for us is in knowing God and his purpose to deliver us from our sins to be his very own. I love this passage of Scripture, Acts chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. Listen to this. Peter speaking to the Jews, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. Sent him to bless you. How were they blessed? In turning away every one of you from your iniquities. In turning away every one of you from your sins. That's how God, through Jesus, blessed these Jews. That's how God, through Christ, blessed us. He's turned us away from our sins. People say, if you go into any place, you say, how many of you want to be blessed today? Jump to your feet. People would jump up. Yeah, I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed, Pastor. And probably 99.999% of them are thinking, that you're going to give me something, right? Oh, God's going to give me something, right? Give me a ministry, give me a big, whatever it is, but God's going to give me something. But the majority of those people would not be thinking about this right here. Lord, would you bless me and turn me away from that sin that overwhelms me? Paul said, I find that when I seek to do good, evil is present with me. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? And so we realize, I just wanted to insert that scripture because it's very important that we realize that they were blessed materially, but the ultimate blessing came in Jesus Christ turning every one of them away from their sins. Genesis 26:12 reads, "Then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." He sowed in the land, reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it." The blessing of the Lord makes rich. All right. So we see that Isaac was a blessed man. He was living this blessing, and it was by faith that he laid hands upon Jacob and Esau to pass this blessing on into their life. Not only the spoken word, but what he had actually lived of the blessing of God, he wanted to see his children receive, and they did. All right, I wanted to get through a real quick verse 21, which says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph." So Isaac did it, but then Jacob did it. You remember when Jacob went to bless Ephraim and Manasseh, that he crossed his hands because his right hand went on Ephraim's head, the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, the older. Why? And Joseph was grieved and said, "Not so, Father." And Jacob said, "No, I may be blind, but I'm not dumb. I know how you got these boys before me. No, son, the younger is going to receive the double portion." Reuben had gone and spent time with, lost the birthright because of his sin against his father by sleeping with his concubine. So God, you know, Jacob put that double portion anointing on Joseph and on his two sons, which was Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay? So it says, "When by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff." You say, why did it take faith for him to bless? Why did it take faith for him to bless them? Well, again, what he blessed them with was not, they didn't own any land in Canaan. They didn't have all of what God had said to them, but these patriarchs believed the word of the Lord to them. Genesis 48:3-4, Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty, who appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, blessed me and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession.'" Then further down, Jacob actually blesses Ephraim and Manasseh. It says he blessed Joseph in verse 15 and said, "God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil." You know, there's something to be said for, I know folks don't like growing old. Personally, I'm loving it. You say, "Pastor, you getting gray hair?" Fine, loving it. "Pastor, you getting older, creaks and cracks and dirt?" Yeah, loving it. Why? Because I'm not thinking about this temporal world and all about the, you know, looking young kind of, I'm not thinking about that. The longer I walk with Jesus, the more I know about his goodness, the more I see how he takes care of my life, the more I can tell, the psalmist said, "Come unto me and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." He says, "I'm going to tell you all about how good God has been to me so that your faith can rest in the Lord." The longer we walk with Jesus, the greater our testimony is of his goodness. The longer I can sit down, can I tell you about him? Oh, I can tell you about him. I've been walking with him for years. I can tell you what he's done. I can tell you what he's brought me through. I could sit you, come over to my house, sit up all night long talking about Jesus. That's how I look at getting old in the Lord. I ain't thinking about looking good for you or anybody else. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about all that he's brought me through and how I can talk about and just throw my head back and think about him. Jesus, now you remember when? You remember when? Lord, I remember. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. "God, before whom my fathers walked, That's acknowledging that God is the Savior who brought Abraham and Isaac into relationship with God. By his grace, God called Abraham, had him hear his voice. The God who has fed me all my life long to this day, acknowledging that God is the God of provision. He's the one who supplies your every need. He's the one who sustains you. He says, this God who saved us, who has provided for us. Then he goes, the angel who has redeemed my life from all evil. The angel who watched over me, my back. He was my shield and my exceeding great rearward. He surrounded me like with his angels. He kept me all my life long. Jacob is testifying about his God when he left his father and mother, went to Paddan Aram, stayed there for over 20 years, and Laban would have cheated him out of everything if God hadn't been there with him. He says, that God blessed the land. That God who's done all of that, that God that I know, the God who saved me, the God who protected me, provided for me, bless these lads. Then he says this, let my name be upon them. Let my name be upon them. There's a whole sermon in that. Because there was a time when Jacob, when he was asked his name, he wouldn't say it. His father said, are you really my son Esau? He wouldn't tell his real name. And then the later God had him deal with it. Because Jacob wanted a blessing. And the angel said, what is your name? And what he wouldn't say years before to man. See, God knows your name. Didn't we sing it? He knows my name. See, so what he wouldn't say to his father, see, you can't get away from it because God's going to have it. He's going to bring you back. What is your My name is Cheater. That's my character. That was Jacob. My name is Supplanter. My name is Thief. And then God said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but your name shall be called Israel. For as a prince, you have wrestled with God and prevailed. And Jacob said, let my name, that name Prince, let that name be on these boys. I said, my God. Now, Jacob, he's experienced all of this, and he lays his hands on these children, and he says, let my name be named upon them. And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, I said to myself, my God, is that something, you know, fathers, and Moses was praying for us when we had a congregational prayer. And I was thinking about this when you were praying. I thought, can my name, is the name that I have lived, come on, fathers, the name, do I want that name to be on my children? Oh, my God. Do I want that name? I said, I may find myself there with Jacob saying, Lord, change my name. Amen. He says, let my name be upon them in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Again, he's by faith, he's declaring this. He's blessing these boys, and indeed it did happen. Ephraim was larger than the tribe of Manasseh. Ephraim went on to do great things, although, you know, the whole nation had trouble. So Jacob conferred upon them that which would happen in the future as he heard it from God. And then the last scripture in this is verse 22, real brief. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. All of this they did by faith. Why? They didn't. It wasn't right at hand. Didn't happen right away. But Joseph said, even Jacob said, listen, he said to Joseph, when I die, God's going to deliver you. You're going to come up out of Egypt. And when you do, he said, bury me. When I die, take me and bury me back in Paddan Aram in Canaan. But Joseph, before he died, he prophesies. He blesses, but he prophesies. And he says, God's going to visit you, and we're coming up out of here. And when you do, take my bones and bury me. Take me back to Canaan. Take me back to Canaan. All of that was done by faith. It says, by faith, Joseph made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. by faith. Why? Because they couldn't see it. But they believed that as God revealed it to them, it would surely happen. And we know that it did. 1 Peter 3, my last scripture, 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 10 read, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. As I'm reading this, I'm thinking about all the blessing, and I'm thinking about, you know, how we can be a blessing to one another. But listen, he says, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil. How many of you know that sometimes Christians do evil things? Or reviling for reviling. That word means to attack verbally, to abuse verbally. Sometimes Christians can be that way. And Peter is saying, don't return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Blessing. So when we're ill-treated, he says this, by faith, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despise you. Right? But on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. That you may inherit a blessing. All of this blessing was done, yes, through the laying on of hands, but not the laying on of hands alone. It was conferred, the blessing was conferred by what came out of the mouth. Could I encourage us to be a blessing to one another by what we allow to come out of our mouth? Out of the same fountain came sweet water and bitter. Out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing. James said these things ought not to be so. And so when we're ill-treated, when we're mistreated, God help us to issue forth blessing and not evil for evil, not reviling for reviling. Why? Because we have been called to inherit a blessing. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we magnify you today. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, O God, for Jesus incarnate, Lord, who came and lived and died and resurrected, O my God, so that we could live now in your kingdom and in your presence. Father, I pray, Lord, that this word would live in us. I pray, oh God, that your word would take on flesh in us, oh God, and we would live out the truth of your word. Lord, we would be not only hearers, but doers, that the word would be fleshed out, and the word would be so alive, living in our spirit and in our conscience, that we would live out the truth of your word, oh God. Father, help us, Lord, to walk and to continue to walk in your spirit, oh God, to love one another, Lord, as you have loved us. Lord, that when we are mistreated or ill-treated, Lord, that we would respond, Lord, with blessing. Help us, Father, to by faith bless. Help us to continue to bless, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Father, we bless the food now that we're about to receive. Thank you that it will strengthen and nourish our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.